Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
To win and to live the thrill of the action.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs. What the hell's going on out here?
No idea what's going on, but I am excited.
Every pick, every play, every game-changing moment. This is You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Oh, baby, we are so back. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen. You Better You Bet is live on the BetMGM Network. No, you are not losing your minds. I am not a slightly less attractive version of Femi or Nick or anybody else. My name is Rob Brown, and it is a pleasure to be with you for exactly and precisely 60 minutes of sports talk chaos beginning right this very second. Happy to join you, happy to fill in for the boys as we run through 60 minutes of whatever we decide is worth talking about, live in Greenville, South Carolina, and recovering, because for some reason, this guy right here decided that the best way to spend the last weekend before we enter the holiday season was to fly down to New Orleans, Louisiana, and watch a Saints-Falcons game. And I got to tell you, I think I'd rather probably hit myself in the face with a brick than sit through another 3.5 hours of NFC South football, ladies and gentlemen. We are going to talk quite a bit of NFL football over the next 60 minutes. We're going to talk a little bit here in just mere moments from right now about last night's Monday Night Football game, because I don't know what the Carolina Panthers are. I don't know what they are. A week after they put up 425 through the air and go off last night, they get three turnovers in the first half and get what I believe a field goal off of it altogether. Asinine is the only word I can describe. I have to say, and I want to talk about the team itself, but have y'all ever gone through a moment where you've gone from I'm in on a dude to I'm out on a dude just that fast? Because I think it happened to me last night, and it's not Bryce Young that I am talking about, and I will get to him just a minute, and we're going to have the same conversation about the 49ers too, because the flip back to Brock Purdy, I didn't understand it. And for those of you that were about to tweet me at the Rob Brown Show, yes, I will shamelessly self-promote. It's what I'm here for. That, hey, Rob, no one should lose their job to injury. Yeah, they should. If somebody comes in and does a better job, this is the National Football League. All right? This isn't your local plumber or exterminator. This is the NFL. If somebody comes in and is better than you, it's their job. At least that's how I would handle. But we'll come back to Brock Purdy and Mac Jones here in just a minute. I'd like to focus in for just a brief minute on Dave Canales, the head coach of the Carolina Panthers. Because for those of you that don't know me, I'm here in Greenville, South Carolina. I've hosted a local show in this market for coming up on 6 years now, and I have covered extensively the aforementioned NFC South squad. And I have to say, I've given a lot of leeway, a lot of runway to Dave Canales, to Dan Morgan, the general manager. In fact, I've even gone so far, I shudder the thought of forgiving a lot of what Dave Tepper, the owner of this club, has done over the past couple of years, because I thought maybe they finally got it right. Maybe they figured it out. And that's not to say it's a good football team, but I really thought this was a team on an upward trajectory. And last night, that kind of came to a head, because all they had to do was go beat the San Francisco 49ers, perhaps the most banged-up football team in the NFL so far this season. All they had to do was beat that team. And for the first time in, 217 years, the Carolina Panthers would have had a grip, a sole grip, by themselves atop the NFC South. And they didn't get it done. And they didn't get it done despite the fact that Brock Purdy gave them three turnovers in the first half of the game. And honestly, it could have been four. And McCaffrey fumbled a ball that San Francisco was very lucky to get back. Or it could have been five. The problem is that, talking about the Carolina Panthers, I don't know if it would have mattered if it was five turnovers, if they would have gotten all of them. I don't think that it would have mattered, because the offense last night was a joke. But I'd like to dial in specifically on one fact. There was the touchdown that we saw that wasn't for Carolina. Bryce Young, they run a little bootleg back out to the right. BY's got a blocker, one defender in the flat. And instead of sprinting to the pylon and just tapping it on the way by, BY throws a IDK ball into the back of the end zone that is picked off, and that comes off the board. Now, that, to me, is one of two things. It's either A quarterback who doesn't know ball. And I know Bryce Young knows ball. I watched him at his time at the University of Alabama. He knows ball. We saw games out of Bryce Young like we saw last week. He knows ball. So the only other thing to me that can be, unless it was just an egregious mistake, which I acknowledge the possibility of, the only other thing that I could think that was poor coaching. Well, somebody was in his head telling him, force that throw. Now, that hasn't been Dave Canales, in my ever so humble yet frequently correct opinion. So I started thinking, where else am I missing something here? What other factors should I be taking into this to decide where to assign blame for what went wrong last night in what should have been a massive victory for Carolina? And then I look at the fact that Rico Dowdle, who is, I acknowledge, a one-year rental for this football team, a 1,000-yard rusher for the Dallas Cowboys that signed on to come down and play his ball for the Carolina Panthers. This kid was a South Carolina Gamecock. Now, I'm not saying that Rico Dowdle would have stayed with this team beyond this year. What I'm saying is the guy is bag hunting right now, and he's running as hard, he's running as well as he's ever run in his career. He is 28 years old. We know that by and large, NFL running backs hit their expiration date at 30, which he would hit at this point next season. Meaning, if I'm Rico Dowdle, I'm looking at this season as likely my last season to just like go off on the stat book and get the bag. And so Rico has been performing. And even if Rico's not at his best, because Rico has been performing, Chuba Hubbard, who was very good for this football team last year, coming off of an injury, should be relatively fresh. And yet, for whatever reason, in multiple spots last night, when Carolina got in goal-to-go situations, this team completely forgot their identity. This team completely forgot who and what they were. And I put that on Dave Canales, who is the de facto offensive coordinator for this squad as well. I cannot understand. I've said this on this network I used to host the Saturday show along with Cody Decker. I fill in on BetMGM tonight with great regularity. Occasionally, I get the absolute fortune to sit in on this show. And I've said this on every radio show I've ever hosted on or guested on. I do not understand what goes through the head of a head coach or a coordinator or hell, sometimes even players. When something is working and it is working well, why randomly, when the pressure is on because that thing has worked, why do we stop doing that thing? Why? If Rico Dowdle, since Chuba Hubbard's injury, was working, why are we getting away from that? If the two-back rotation when Chuba Hubbard came back was working, why do we get away from that? And I understand that last week Bryce Young had the best game of his NFL career. I get it. I understand it. My man went off. I'm all for it. And by the way, I would like to be very clear about this. I am absolutely pulling for the success of Bryce Young. I like the kid. I think a lot of the misfortune in Charlotte, North Carolina has been hung on his head. I'm pulling for him. I understand that last week he had the game of a career. I understand that last week going off for 328 and three touchdowns, you're like, oh, there he is. That's that guy. That's that number one overall first pick. That's the guy we've been waiting for. Do you know why he got there? He got there because the Carolina Panthers got back to, we're a run-first team. The Carolina Panthers recognized we are a team that has dumped all this money into our offensive line. And yeah, there's guys banged up and hurt, and it's not the week one O-line. It doesn't matter. You're too deep across the majority of that offensive line. And they got into running the football quite a bit. And as they got into running the football quite a bit, the pass game opened up. And yeah, a lot of that has to do with the fact that Teterol McMillan has been an absolute dog. A lot of that has to do with every now and then Xavier Leggett's been able to get rid of the block, the mental block, whatever it is that has been plaguing him for the last year and a half. But it is not a freaking coincidence that when the Carolina Panthers got back to running the football, and made that their identity, that all of a sudden Bryce Young looks better, McMillan looks better, Leggett looks better, everybody looks better. And then for some reason last night, I don't know why, I don't know how to explain it, all of the sudden, this team decided that Rico Dowdle should get six carries. No matter how many times we're in the red zone, he should get six carries. This team decided last night that Chuba Hubbard, probably the freshest running back in the game, should have three carries. What are we doing? Why, when stuff finally started to work, why, when you got on the right side of 500 for the first time since, like, Cam Newton's last good year in Carolina, why did we get away from that? Why did we stop doing that? I will never understand why it is that when something is working and it works to the point that it puts you in a bit. When's the last time the Carolina Panthers had pressure on them to succeed? When's the last time that they had pressure on them where a win actually meant something? Because I got to tell you, not since I moved to Greenville in February of 2020 has a win mattered. Last night mattered. If they win that game, they are in sole possession of first place in their division. And they just stopped. They just stopped doing it. They ran the ball 13 times last night. A team that has been a run-first team, and it got them to above 500, and it got them to 60 minutes away from having first place and sole possession of their division. They just stopped. They just stopped. And I can't understand it. It's not that I don't want to understand it. I love to understand it. I just can't. I don't get it. And then real quick, because I would like to talk a little bit more about quarterbacking in the next hour, next segment of the show. I'm going to need somebody to explain to me why we made the switch back to Brock Purdy when I thought Mac Jones was playing pretty good football. And I know it's just Mac Jones. Is that guy who couldn't get it done in New England. And oh, by the way, there's another thing I've been saying on the radio for a very long time. And that is, y'all, as football fans, as fanalists, whatever you want to call yourself, y'all have got to stop putting all of the blame for the failure of a young franchise quarterback on the franchise quarterback and start putting some of that blame on the franchise. What, like, why? Like, why can we not put blame for the failure of a young quarterback on the franchise, especially this year? What's Danny Dimes doing right now? What's Baker Mayfield doing right now? What's Sam Darnold doing right now? There are plenty of guys out there that illustrate that if the franchise isn't a bunch of morons, that maybe that quarterback can succeed a little bit. Mac Jones might be one of those guys, y'all, because he was in New England at a point in time where New England was absolutely spiraling. They sent him to Jacksonville. Jacksonville has been, for the past decade, a dumpster fire inside of a slightly larger dumpster fire. And now we're screwing that all up. He comes to San Francisco. He takes over after Brock Purdy goes down. And Mac Jones is playing pretty good football. And then all of a sudden, despite the fact that he had won, what, 4 out of the last 5? You're just going to yank the guy and go back to a guy who hadn't played in 6 weeks to throw 3 picks and should have lost you the game against a competent team? Somebody needs to explain it to me, because nobody has yet. Take a break. When we come back, let's talk about quarterbacking around the NFL, because it is chaos right now. I am Rob Brown in for Nick and Femi, and happy to be here on You Better You Bet in the BetMGM Network.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get back to You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network.
Hello, you beautiful people. Welcome back, You Better You Bet, here on the BetMGM Network. I am Rob Brown, filling in for Nick and Femi. Great to be with all of you. Hey, if you don't mind, toss me a follow on your social, at The Rob Brown Show. I'd love to have you. 30 seconds, put me on the clock. Stop with the Christmas music. It's too early. Is Thanksgiving might be the most disrespected holiday, and I'm tired of it, frankly, to be honest with you. Like, Thanksgiving deserves more respect than we give. And the fact that, hey, whether it's because you like the food angle of it, of course I do, I'm a fat guy, or if you appreciate the sentimentality behind it, which I do, can we stop with the absolute disrespect of just like skipping over Thanksgiving? All right. I have had Christmas music pumped into my ear. I was in New Orleans, as I mentioned, this past weekend. Like, half the shops in that city are decorated for Christmas. Yo, it is November 25th. We are a month away. My man Mike in the chat came up during the break, and I think he set a rule, which I think we can all compromise on. I think we can all shake hands and meet in the middle, a little kumbaya moment, a little come to Jesus meeting about it, if you will. When Santa shows up at the end of the Macy's Day Thanksgiving Day parade, that's our moment, all right? That's when you can start your Christmas music. So those of you that love it, those of you like, apparently, my guy Nick Costas, who I love and admire, who would be playing Christmas music in like October, if given the opportunity, y'all can have it on Thanksgiving Day. We'll even give it to you on Thanksgiving Day. But for those of us that are like, yo, can Thanksgiving have its moment? Like, there's an option there. Because once Santa rolls by in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade, most of us are going to be wrapped up that day. We're going to be wrapped up in football. We're going to be wrapped up in the NBA. We're going to be wrapped up in the Egg Bowl and college football, whatever the case might be. And that means that we have the opportunity to just kind of put it on a shelf for the rest of the day. Finish up our Thanksgiving, take our post-Thanksgiving dinner nap, wake up, finish off the leftovers, go to bed. But if you love it, you can go sit out in your car in the driveway and listen to your jingle bells and enjoy. Can we all compromise, ladies and gentlemen, that when Santa comes by on the Thanksgiving Day parade, as soon as we see Santa, now is acceptable Christmas music in time. If we can all get together, I think that is maybe one issue of a very polarized country that we might be able to solve right here on this show today. That's my goal. Bring America together, and I think this might be step one. All right, I'd like to talk about quarterbacking around the NFL for just a moment, ladies and gentlemen. And we talked a little bit about it back in the last segment of the program. And there were two things that I brought up specifically that I think start the conversation. The first is, I got no idea why San Francisco felt the need to make that switch back to Brock Purdy. Now, I have been in the camp, and I have found that I am in a minority on this, and I'm okay with that. I found that I'm in a minority in that. I think Brock Purdy's fine. I think Brock Purdy's fine. Do I think he is this elite quarterback? Do I think he's at the top of the league? Do I believe that he's one of the greats? Do I believe we're going to be talking about Brock Purdy decades down the line like we are Patrick Mahomes? No, I don't. I think he's fine. I think he is the recipient of having played for the last handful of years under a fantastic head coach who understands quarterbacks, and B, being surrounded by incredible skill position talent, by guys like Debo, by guys like McCaffrey, by guys like Kittle, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I think that's been a fantastic setup for Brock Purdy. Mac Jones stepped into Brock Purdy's position when Brock got hurt a few weeks ago. And Mac Jones has been pretty damn good. He's been pretty good. Why would you take a guy who has had rhythm, who has had routine, who had been successful, and replace him with a guy who hadn't played football in 6 or 7 weeks? Why would we do that? And I will say that there is a cliche that's been out there for years. You can't lose your job to an injury. To that I say, bull crap. Yeah, you can. If a guy comes in and he does a better job, or if a guy comes in and he is succeeding at that job, yeah, you can. Does it suck for the guy that lost the job due to injury? Yeah. Do I feel bad for the guy who lost the job to injury? Yeah. Yeah, I do. But at the end of the day, we see guys cut from teams all the time. And we say, it's a business. It kind of comes with the territory, man. At the end of the day, it is a business. And business decisions have to get made. Well, I got news for you. The guy that is playing quarterback, that's a business decision, my guy. It is a business decision who is taking snaps. It is a business decision who is under center. And when I've got a guy who is succeeding, who is winning, who is doing everything that needs to be done for my team to succeed and win, why'd I make the switch? Why would I do that? All right, there's a few more stories that I want out there. Rumor going around right now that Joey B is on his way back for the Cincinnati Bengals, that Joe Burrow is on his way back. I have a question. Should he? Should he be on his way back? Should Joe Burrow get back under center? And I got to tell you, if I'm Joey B, the answer's not just no, but hell no, my dudes. I'm out. I don't want to go back. Now, it's not because the 3-8 Cincinnati Bengals are not a playoff team this year. I don't think that that is going to shock anybody to find out. It is because there is a reason that Joey Burrow has missed as many games as Joey Burrow has missed the last couple of years. It's because the offensive line for the Cincinnati Bengals is the equivalent of 5 subway turnstiles, but 3 of them are stuck. They don't work. It's just not good. I respect the competitor angle of it, right? Like, I get it. At the end of the day, Joey B's a competitor, and he wants to win, and no matter what it takes to win, he's going to go out there and do it. And I get that. But see, Joey B, I'd like you to be a competitor for a long time. And if you go play behind that offensive line again, you won't be. Hell, if you go play behind that offensive line in week 13, you might not be able to go out there, play, and win in week 18 of this year. You might go right back to the IR. And every time that you get dinged up, you become more likely to get dinged up worse down the line. These things tend to compound over time. And it's not like you've had a slew. And you might go, wait a minute, Rob. Turf toe is kind of a random injury, right? Like, it can happen to anybody. Yeah, but it turns out, and this may or may not shock you, when I've done the scientific research, people, you can trust me on this. You're much more likely to get turf toe if you are running away from an entire defense that has been unblocked and is trying to murder you in the backfield than if you're just running around in a clean pocket trying to find a guy. Like, you're just more likely to get injured that way. And that's what keeps happening to this guy. If I was Joe Burrow, who has to know, and maybe I'm alone in this thought too, the current iteration of the Cincinnati Bengals are cooked, right? Like, T. Higgins is gone, Ja'Marr Chase is gone. Everybody who's anybody on that team, I have to assume at this point, is gone at the end of this year. They already wanted to be gone last year. I am convinced, I don't have the proof of this, but I'm already convinced the only reason that those guys are still on this squad is because Joe Burrow had to have begged them to be, right? Like, hey, guys, we're putting up historic numbers. Come back and let's do it one more time. Like, let's give this thing a run. And what they did not account for, because how could they? I think this offseason, all of us had one assumption about the Cincinnati Bengals, and it would be that they would invest in the offensive line so that Joe Burrow didn't literally die on the football field. And they would invest in the defense under a defensively minded head coach. They did not do either of those things. In fact, not only did they not invest in the defense, they were yay close, this close to letting their best and only consistent defensive player stay on the team. Like, they were ready to let the guy go. I don't know what the game plan was here, man. Like, I don't get what the Bengals were attempting to do in this spot. So they didn't invest. Joey Burrow, listen to me, my guy. All right? Don't do this. You know what I feel like? You know how in those movies there's that guy and, like, he loses all his investments on the stock market and he's standing on the ledge of the big tall building and there's a cop down at the bottom and he's got a megaphone and he's yelling up and he's like, "Don't jump! There's so much to live for! People love you!" I feel like that right now for Joey B. I'm like, don't jump. And by jump, I mean play for the Bengals anymore. Like, don't do it. You want out. There's going to be teams willing to throw a treasure trove at the Cincinnati Bengals to get you. Let them do that. Don't do it. I'm screaming at you with a megaphone, Joe B. Don't jump. It's not worth it. That's what I feel like I'm at right now. Baker Mayfield likely to miss some time from what I understand. We are still waiting on a definitive. I saw Schefter report not too long ago that he's got a sprained a ligament in the throwing shoulder, which we saw while the Buccaneers were getting it handed to him by the Rams Sunday night. I don't know what to make of that team, man. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who, because the Panthers can't stop slamming their own genitalia in the door, do still have sole possession of first place in the NFC South. Baker Mayfield is the reason why. And by the way, remember earlier when I had the take and I had the thought, maybe we should start putting the blame for the failure of franchise quarterbacks on the franchise, not on the quarterbacks? Baker Mayfield, you don't think the Cleveland Browns have been watching this kid like, oh, we feel really... Well, he left there, and he went to a dumpster fire, and then he left that dumpster fire. He went to the Rams for one game. One game. He had 2 days of practice and one game with the Rams. And what did Sean McVay do? Sean McVay made Baker Mayfield look like a stinking, like a miracle in that game. And then he goes down to Tampa, and he picks up after Tom Brady when everybody thought everything was over. He shows up to Tampa, and Tampa's won the division like a lot of times in a row because of Baker Mayfield. If this cat's going to sit down for a while, the Bucs still might win this division because everybody else in that division stinks. Like, the best thing in the world, if that team was in any other division, the loss of Baker Mayfield for even 2 weeks would probably doom them. But for whatever reason, it doesn't in the NFC. Well, whatever reason is the whole division stinks, but you get it. Carolina had a chance to get it done last night, and they didn't do it. There is one more quarterback that I would like to talk about, and that is the quarterback of the other team that we just talked about, the LA Rams. Guys, I'm calling the shot. Matt Stafford's got to be the MVP of the league right now, right? Like, it's not a discussion anymore for me. In eight games, Matt Stafford has 25 passing touchdowns and zero interceptions. It is the longest string of tutties without a pick in the history of the NFL. 8 games, 25 tutties, zero picks. And the best part is, Devontae Adams is old. Puka Nacua is the best they got. They got rid of Cooper Kupp last year. Like, this is a Rams team that I thought, all right, this is the year they take the step back. This is the year that everything that they've been doing for some time, this is the year they take this. It's got to be, right? Like, it's got to be the year they take the step back. And instead, Matt Stafford's got them at 9-2. Instead, this Rams team is going to win a division that the Seahawks have been playing good football. They're 8-3. That the 49ers, despite all the injuries, have been playing good football behind Mac Jones, just to refresh your memory there. And the Rams are winning that division because Matt Stafford's a dog. Like, he's got to be the MVP. Who else are we putting on that pedestal right now? Like, maybe you could say Baker Mayfield would go on that pedestal pre-injury. But the Bucs are 6-5. They're a game above 500 right now. Who else? Caleb Williams, I really like what he's doing with Chicago right now. I wish I would have taken the ticket that I talked myself out of taking for the Bears to win that division. I got scared. I jumped off. But everything I thought about Caleb Williams was right. Turns out that guy might be him. What else? Who else are we giving that thing to, man? It's incredible right now what that guy's doing. What do we make of Josh Allen, by the way? The other guy who 3-4 weeks ago, maybe he was in that spot. 24 of 34, 253, two interceptions in a loss to the Texans. The Bills are now 7-4. And granted, Buffalo's still going to make a playoff. Granted, they're not going to win that division, which Buffalo not winning the AFC East is, to me, the biggest shock. Not because they're not that good, but because the Patriots, who I was in on, I told Ryan Horvat on BetMGM tonight before the season started, I thought the New England Patriots were going to be the surprise team this year in the NFL. I was right. 10-2 is even more surprise team than I thought the surprise team would surprise us. But Josh Allen falling off. What do we make it of that? Do we put it on Sean McDermott? Do we put it on bad luck? Do we put it on injuries? Or do we put it on the franchise? Because they keep not getting that. Do you see what I'm saying, people? Do you understand the point that I'm making? Sometimes it's the franchise, not the franchise QB. All right, let's take a break. Playoff rankings come out tonight in college football. We'll talk about that next. You Better You Bet. Rob Brown in for Nick and Femi here on the BetMGM Network.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get back to You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network.
You Better You Bet here on the BetMGM Network, as that lovely young announcer lady just said to you. I am Rob Brown, not Nick or Femi, but Nick will be with you here in the next hour, carrying you all the way up till the end of the show. They needed somebody to come in, and I'm like Shohei in the regular season, you know? I'm just the opener. I'm going to come in. I'm going to give you one, two, maybe three solid good innings. Then we'll bring in the stars. I am Rob Brown. Glad to be with you. The college football playoff rankings will drop this evening after another week of football. Obviously, this weekend passed a bit of a, not a totally dead weekend, but a bit of a dead weekend because it is rivalry weekend, people, if you're a college football fan, as I am growing up in the deep South. It is the best weekend of the football calendar. Could not be more excited about it. And I'm very interested to see what we're going to get out of the playoff rankings tonight and what that is going to mean for the college football schedule coming up this Saturday. Ohio State looked good in their win over Rutgers. Texas A&M blew out a cupcake in Samford, Georgia. By the way, what the hell was the SEC doing this past weekend, man? Like, I got to tell you, I have never been, despite growing up in the Deep South, I have never been the SEC just means more guy. But sometimes you just got to acknowledge it's the best conference in college football, right? It just is. I don't think that's up for debate this year. There have been years gone by where I've made the argument that the SEC has been massively successful at making sure that people didn't understand the concept of circular logic. That is to say, if all the teams start in the top 25 without any proof that they are some of the best 25 teams in America, then of course all of their schedules are going to look like they're the best schedules in college football because they all play a bunch of top 25 teams. I think this year it's become pretty obvious that it's the best conference in college football. The teams that are either playoff bound or look like they're in the mix, I would look at Texas A&M, blew out a cupcake. Georgia, blew out a cupcake. Oklahoma, one of the few teams that actually faced an opponent in the penultimate week of the regular season. 17-6 winners over Mizzou. Of course, Mizzou did get Bo Pribula back, which was nice. But not the same Mizzou they were a number of weeks ago. John Mateer, by the way, one of the most interesting stories in college football. We'll circle back around to that. Alabama blew out a cupcake. Vanderbilt blew out Kentucky. Good. I'm glad to see it. I actually really like this Vanderbilt Commodore team. Is there room for them to climb back into the playoffs? We'll find out. Tennessee blew out Florida. I don't think they're in the playoffs. I don't think they're a playoff team, but they'll be fighting, kicking, and scratching to the end of the season. And I guess good for Auburn putting up 62, but whatever. The playoff rankings, as they dropped last week, outside of the discussion, outside of the debate about the rankings of Miami, about Notre Dame, about Alabama, I didn't really have a big problem with them overall. The ACC should, because it's looking progressively more like the ACC might be a one-bid team. They might just get their champ in, which is this. I, we talked in the last hour or last segment about Buffalo maybe being the biggest disappointment in the NFL. And I know there's a lot of other teams that are in the mix, but I really think Buffalo might be. I think the ACC at large might be the biggest disappointment in college football. I know a lot of you are going to argue it's Penn State, and I get that, because Penn State's fall this year is going to be studied by historians for years to come. But I think the ACC at large, because I really thought the ACC was going to surprise some people this year. I'm not a believer in Mario Cristobal. I'm just not. I think Mario Cristobal at Miami is probably the absolute illustration of punching yourself in your own genitalia until you get in your own way enough that you're knocked out of the way. But I thought Miami under Carson Beck would be a good enough team this year. Georgia Tech, they lost to Pitt. And listen, Pat Narduzzi at Pitt, this is a team that I think Narduzzi knew his back was kind of against the wall. Narduzzi's a guy the players love. I've been going to ACC Media Days every year for the past 5 years. And I will tell you, Pat Narduzzi is one of the most entertaining guys. I think the players love him. I think his staff loves him. And I think with his back against the wall, Pitt was ready to fight. There's still no reason for Georgia Tech to do what Georgia Tech did this past weekend and find a way not just to lose to Pitt, but to get Georgia Tech cost themselves a playoff spot this past weekend. Virginia, 9-2. Pleasant surprise, Tony Elliott and the Virginia Cavaliers. I really like Tony Elliott. Used to coach at Clemson. He was the offensive coordinator there back when Clemson was good, because they're not anymore, obviously. But really like Tony Elliott. Really nice guy. That loss to Wake Forest, I think, is going to haunt Virginia and Tony Elliott, because I don't think they're going to get in. And outside of that, like, you were hoping for a pushback from Florida State. You didn't get it. Clemson was one of the most bet on national championship winners this year. They had to fight to get bowl eligible. The ACC, I really thought, was going to be a conference that was capable of getting three bids this year. Instead, it looks like they're going to get just their champion in, and I don't know what to make of that. So, knowing what we know about the college football playoff rankings from last year, or from last week, and knowing what we know about the upcoming schedule for rivalry weekend, there's a lot that's really interesting. The Lane Kiffin story in and of itself would make number 6 Ole Miss taking on Mississippi State in the Egg Bowl on Friday. That would make that a very interesting game enough as it is. We've got rumors that Lane Kiffin was given an ultimatum. You've got to let us know what your plans are before the Egg Bowl. My first reaction to that, my first thought about that was, what if he doesn't, right? What if Lane calls Ole Miss and he's like, hey, guys, give me a week now that the season's over. Or let me get to the SEC championship game before I decide. Or let me get to the playoffs before I decide what I'm going to do. What is Ole Miss going to do? Hey, if you don't tell us you're in, you're out. No, he's the best thing that's ever happened to you. That in and of itself would be enough drama. But you add on top of the fact that this is a game on the road in Starkville, Mississippi. And I know the Bulldogs of Mississippi State aren't very good. But let's not forget that the Bulldogs of Mississippi State took the Texas Longhorns at Davis Wade Stadium to the wire just a couple of weeks ago. Let's not put that to the back of the noggin. That's a tough place to play, especially for this rivalry. I'm going to tell you right now, if you've grown up outside of the Deep South, I grew up an hour and a half from the Mississippi State line in the Florida Panhandle. Y'all, this rivalry is as deep and passionate as any rivalry in football. It's not as notorious. It doesn't get the attention, but it's very interesting. And I'm going to tell you right now, if I am putting a team that is in a playoff spot, if I'm putting them on upset alert this weekend, I know you're going to think I'm crazy because it's just Mississippi State. Y'all, Ole Miss is in that spot at noon on Friday. I keep an eye on that one. Georgia, Georgia Tech. Georgia's favored by 2 touchdowns in the hook in this one. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm taking Georgia Tech to cover it. All right? I want you to think about where the rambling wreck is and what's happened to that team. 4 weeks ago, that team was a playoff team. 4 weeks ago, that team was a front runner for the ACC title game. 4 weeks ago, that team was a front runner for the ACC championship. And then they lost to Pitt. I also want you to go back to last year when Georgia was also a 2 touchdown and a hook favorite. Do you remember what happened in that game? Which, by the way, was in Athens. They went to 8 overtimes before Georgia was able to put away Brent Key and the Georgia Tech rambling wreck. This time it's in Atlanta. This time it's in Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm telling you right now, I'm not quite ready to say the wreck are going to win that game outright. I am ready to say they can cover and maybe pull the shock upset. The other game on Friday that just became very interesting was Texas A&M taking on Texas. A&M is favored by 2.5. This game is in Austin. So it is a roadie for Mike Elko and his Aggies. Y'all, I wouldn't put it past Texas to make this one interesting. Now, I like the Aggies. I like the cover. If this gets to 3, 3.5, I'd be a little less likely to take it. I'll take it at Texas A&M minus 2.5 on the road. But the last couple of weeks, I'm not going to say it's necessarily all performance. But man, the vibes around Arch have been a little bit different, right? Like the vibes around the Texas offense have been a little bit different. Up before the L to Georgia, and I would like to be very clear, Georgia is one of the best 3 teams in America this year. And I know y'all don't want to believe it. I get it. I understand it. Georgia figured out how to run the ball about 4 weeks ago. Georgia's running the ball. Georgia's running the ball a lot. So, that 35-10 loss to Georgia is a bad one for the Longhorns. I don't want you to think for a second that means they're a bad football team, because they're absolutely not. They're not. That's a good team. In fact, I think Georgia is one of the best 4 or 5 teams in America right now, maybe one of the best 3 or 4 teams in America. Texas has figured something out, too. And the fact that they drilled Arkansas this past weekend, and granted, you should. Arkansas's bad, fired Sam Pittman, lost a lot of their offense, whatever. I keep an eye out on that. Then on Saturday, we got the game at noon. Ohio State, Michigan. That one's in Ann Arbor. I have been told over and over that this is the greatest rivalry in college football. I don't necessarily know that I agree or disagree. I think it's a regional thing. I think if you grew up in the South, you think it's the Iron Bowl. If you grew up in the North, you think it's the game. Either way, you're not wrong. They're both great rivalry games. What I will say is this. We've seen bad teams win it. We've seen good teams lose it. Michigan is not competing in this game, y'all. Ohio State's going to run them out of the building. It's an opportunity for Ohio State to make sure they get the 1 seed in the bye. They're not losing this game. I'm sorry. All the other games we talked about, I'm very interested in. I keep an eye on Pitt, Miami. Again, like Narduzzi wants a ticket to the ACC title game and a playoff berth. They get over Miami, they can make that happen. I keep an eye on that game too. Those are my favorite ones from the weekend. Vandy at Tennessee. Tennessee minus 3.5. Give me the Doors to win that one too. This feels like the Diego Pavia hasta luego special, man. Like they're not going to get done what they wanted to get done this year. They can leave a bit of a legacy mark by hammering Tennessee at Knoxville, and I think they will. I might actually drive over to that game. Don't judge me. Outside of that, man, what are we looking for? Like, it's a good rivalry game weekend, but that's it. That's the schedule. We'll see how that all shakes up in the rankings tonight. All right, I'm going to get the hell out of the way. And it's about time for, like, the Royal Rumble. The music, by God, that's Nick Costa's music. He's coming up next. He's got you for the next 3 hours. It has been my pleasure to sit in. Follow me on social at The Rob Brown Show. I am Rob Brown. I'll see you guys tonight on BetMGM tonight, too. Y'all have a great one. Enjoy college football. Enjoy the rival week, and I'll see you next time. This is You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.